Good. So good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So I'm going to try to just get started in this really quick because, I'm going to do something a little different this morning, and it'll make sense once we get going. But well, I hope it makes sense. We'll put it that way. But the message this morning is on peace, the Prince of Peace. And there's something that Pastor Josh and I are part of an organization called Gravity Leadership. I shouldn't say part of it. It's a leadership training organization. And, of course, he's ahead of me, and it's sort of like online schooling, I guess. But there's a thing that we've learned about in that, and I know he's shared it with our congregation in the past. But as I was learning it and then studying it and refreshing my memory on some stuff, I thought, well, it does go well with this. So if you feel like you're getting a repeat, it shouldn't. Or if it's familiar to you, that's why, because he's shared it. But hopefully I'm giving you a fresh perspective is my hope. And if you don't remember it, well, here you go. So, but if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up with me to Isaiah chapter 9. We're still there. It's going to be verse 6. It's been this verse that we've been meditating on our whole Advent season. And for those of you that didn't know, if you ever spend some time with Dean and have to do a quiz, one of the questions will come up saying, what does Advent mean? It means coming. It's the only time I'm going to give you that answer, so you better remember it. You never know when you end up on Dean's Jeopardy. So, but hopefully that gave you enough time to get to Isaiah chapter 6, or chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. God bless you. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And so this Advent season we'll be focusing on a few of the many names of Christ. In a year that has been filled with much chaos, we've tried to use this season to remind us that Jesus is that wonderful counselor when we have need of guidance. He's that mighty God when we have need of victory. He's that eternal Father that gives us life while nurturing and protecting us through the storms that we face. And today we're going to learn and rest on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Because even though there is much chaos going on around us in this world, in this nation, in this village, in our families, even though peace has been disrupted, the one thing that has not changed is God. So, and we think of God, the Trinity, that Jesus, he's not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. The Holy Spirit's been given to us as followers of Christ. We believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And because he lives in us, we get to intimately experience and be aware of this wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace. We are given the ability to experience the calm in the midst of a storm because that which has been deposited in us is greater than that which goes on around us. Everyone else is falling apart. While everyone else is falling apart, we can be held together. When everyone else is frantic, we can be at peace. The storm doesn't disappear. We're just given the ability to weather that storm. We're able to stand with confidence and security because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who is full of grace and truth, resides in us via the Holy Spirit, enabling us to be who we've been called to be. So this Prince of Peace is reminded us in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things, Jesus speaking, by the way, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus knew what was coming for him. He knew what was coming for us. He's not surprised by anything that has happened here in 2020. It's been expected. Again, the things around you are not going to be steady. But praise be to God, with Christ, we can be. John describes Jesus in chapter 1, verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory as the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. To be full of anything is, so if you think of a cup or any kind of container, for it to be full is when it begins to overflow. And David reminded us in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd. We lack nothing. In Christ, we lack nothing. Before Jesus did anything, he had everything, still has everything. Remember that moment he was baptized before his ministry began. He had love, the love and approval of his Father as God proclaimed from the heavens. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And here's the thing. I know I've shared this before about how we don't earn grace. Right? It's freely given. Grace is what allows us imperfect beings to be in the presence of the Father. This grace is given to us from the one who is full of grace and truth. And amazing how when he gives grace to us, but he doesn't lose any of it. This grace and truth are not something that we work for. Rather, it is a position that we live from. If I'm abiding in Christ and living this new life, then I have everything that I need in the Holy Spirit to truly live and walk in this world. Not because of what we do, but because of what He has done. This grace and truth that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides is available for us to walk in as we live our day-to-day lives, while at the same time walking in step with the Spirit to our called identity. I say that because Satan, the enemy, wants to keep us living in shame and lies. He wants us to believe that we will never be good enough. He wants us to believe that we're not welcome. He wants us to ignore our created body and believe the lie that God made a mistake. But let me tell you now, God does not make mistakes. And Satan is a liar. So grace and truth are in its fullness in Christ. Grace without truth isn't really grace, and truth without grace isn't really truth. Together, they form this perfect mix, this union of what permeates through us from Christ and then exudes out of us to others. As I said in the beginning, I'm going to try something different. I need more. Yeah, you're good. Got 38 things to play stuff. I'll just, know me, I'll get lost. So this next part is not an original idea with me, but it's the illustration helped me understand this better. So I hope it works for you guys. So otherwise, I don't know. So what I want to do is try to teach you some four words. And by teaching these four words, I hope to show you why grace and truth is often the peace as in the peace of Christ, is what we're missing from our Christian walk sometimes. And I was going to tell you, you can wait on that one. Gave up the secret now. That's okay. No, but so the four words: paradigm, posture, practice, and presence. So paradigm is the way that we see. It's what we believe, okay? So now, for those of you, before I do this, understand, I'm not superstitious. I worship the one true God. So, paradigm, if this umbrella represents my paradigm, so now I can block that. So if this umbrella represents my paradigm, everything that I believe in, okay, then the next one, posture. So, before I go too far, the umbrella represents that paradigm, what I believe. I have a paradigm that believes that God is always present and at work, and that the God who is always present at work loves me, even likes me, wants me to be with him. I have a paradigm that God meets me in my reality. He doesn't need me to fake it until I make it. He just needs me to show up and step into this call that he has on my life. I have a paradigm that says that God is just like Jesus, and he has a call for your life. He has grace and truth for you, that what you care about, he cares about more. That what he wants to do through you, he first does in you. Okay, so that's my paradigm. That is, God is always present at work, has called you into his divine union of discipleship. And it requires your participation. So God holds no good things, and his promises are better than what we have planned. I believe that I can trust God because he is my eternal father. He's that perfect parent that, again, cares more about the things that I care about more than I do. So all these beliefs are my paradigm, okay, representing this umbrella. And that I can posture myself under. So the paradigm leads to my posture, my being. Again, even Satan has a belief that God is God, and this is proof that we can have a paradigm that we don't posture ourselves under. So we can say all day that we believe God is God and that he cares about things more than we do, but until we posture ourselves under that paradigm, it's just empty words. So what needs to happen is what we see should move us to how we live. Or as our coach would say, what we see should move us to how we be. So I can say that God is always present. And understand this, posture The posture is this grace and truth that I talk about. The posture of our hearts and lives should be full of grace and truth, the way Christ is full of grace and truth. As John said, Jesus came to earth full of grace and truth. The posture of my heart, the paradigm of what we believe is what we will posture ourselves under and how we live. My posture is not from doing. My posture is just my being based on what Christ has already done. Does that make sense? This is where we're going to pause for a little bit to delve deeper into this grace and truth. And I'm going to set this down right here, although I will come back. Pretend that I'm still holding it up. But so the grace and truth is a product of a relationship. It's what comes from this divine union of abiding in Christ. It's like what Paul said about taking off the old man and putting on the new. The old me could be a self-absorbed jerk. However, the new me is outwardly focused. I want more of Christ in me and less of me. This is why sometimes peace, that the peace of Christ, can be missing from our Christian walk as we think of these four P's of paradigm, posture, practice, and presence. We realize that sometimes we forget to posture ourselves under our beliefs. So what does this look like? We say that we believe these truths about God, but then chaos hits the fan. Storms come along and wreck our world. Rains fall, the floods come, and we find ourselves on a sandbar because we didn't pivot towards our posture. We tend to pivot towards a practice and forget about the posture. We ask ourselves, things are going crazy. What do I need to do? I need to go grab somebody to tell me what I need to do. Grab a book or whatever. Or maybe I just need to stop doing what I've been doing and start doing something different. And these are all good things, but that's what I'm trying to say is we don't want our practice driving our posture. Otherwise, we just have a religion without relationship. So Jesus is that Prince of Peace. He did not come to earth and die on a cross to defeat sin and death just so we could work harder at avoiding sin and obtaining peace. There is no grace in that. His grace is sufficient for us. When we abide in Him, we receive that peace that transcends all understanding and begin to go and live and do things in grace and truth. Our thoughts need to be driven from that posture of grace and truth, from that intimate connection with the Prince of Peace, from the place of relationship with the Father. So my relationship with the Father then drives the action in my responsibilities. It moves me forward in grace and truth because I've postured myself there. What we do is not the problem. We all know that faith without works is dead. We have to do something with what we believe. It has to be done. It has to be done from the right posture, though. Because if I'm not postured myself underneath my beliefs, and I just go out and do, I'm no different than any atheist that goes down and serves at soup kitchen. Because if that's not coming through, however, when I am postured underneath my beliefs, that grace and truth starts to exude out of me. So now you can put that up there, Jamie. So this quadrant up here, or it's a matrix, I guess it's called, call this the grace and truth matrix. And The first thing I want to discuss is that is what grace and truth is not. Okay, so the first place we're going to go to is that call out quadrant down here in the bottom right. In the call out quadrant, I'm most concerned with you getting it right. Okay, the way I kind of think of this is, as a Marine, I expect you to do your job. And I expect you to do it right. I don't want to hear how hard it is. Just get it done and do it. And you better do it right. The most valuable part of you is what you do. So when I'm in the call-out quadrant, I tell you what you're doing wrong all the time. Why? Because my primary goal is for you to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. It's not a relationship. It's not connection. It's what you do for my team. The only way my team succeeds is for you to do your part right. So I need you to get it right. The only way that happens is if I call you out. When my kids were young, when I was in a call out, I didn't care why they were doing what they were doing. I just needed them to snap to so that their dysfunction didn't disrupt my day. I didn't really care about them in that moment. I just needed them to stop. Just get in the car now. The sooner we get there, the sooner we can have fun and I can enjoy you. So the call out overpowers others to get what we want. It is that truth without grace. And even the truth is not Jesus' truth. Then this other quadrant we have is high grace, low truth. This is called the hangout. Up there in the top or left. Anyways, in hangout, the most important thing is peace, but not real peace. The peace that you think you're maintaining is not real. In fact, it actually causes more tension. It's that idea that I just want everyone to feel good. I feel like we have to walk on an eggshell if we say or do something wrong, it may set them off, and then I don't know what reaction we're going to get. But it's going to disrupt this false sense of peace. You keep yourself from being completely honest for fear of what might come from that. You hide who you really are. Thereby, you have, again, a false connection, a false peace. It keeps you isolated because in the hangout, we have disempowered others. If I am faking it with you, then I have disempowered you from having a real relationship with me. I'm keeping you from coming to the table and really connecting with me to see who I really am, sharing in my struggles as well as my victories. It's called pretending or playing nice. There's a whole lot you can do in a relationship if people are not, there's not a whole lot you can do in a relationship if people are not being who they really are. Then we're going to move to that third one, the checkout. So check out. It's what happens when we spend too much time in either the hangout or the call out. We're just done. I give up. We see this in relationships where we say, I'm done getting hurt. I'm done giving them access to me. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. Forget it. I'm checking out. In checkout, we are all out of truth and grace. So we withhold all power to ourselves. I'm going to build a wall so that you can't hurt me anymore. I am disengaging from having any kind of relationship with you. And as we think about these four quadrants, how did Jesus, the Prince of Peace, respond in our world? And let's not forget that his world's just as chaotic as it is now. Yet Jesus lived in this call-in quadrant. It's high grace, high truth. Because remember, in the call-out quadrant, truth is a weapon. But with Jesus, the truth sets us free. Jesus calls you into a relationship with him to live out your true identity of what he created for you. This call-in is the posture of grace and truth that we want to operate from when we're posturing ourselves underneath our beliefs. Remember, in the other three, there is no peace. Even when we're pretending by trying to keep the peace, we're only ignoring what's really going on. However, when abiding in Christ, we get to experience true peace. Paul shared in Romans that the kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus always operated from a position that was full of grace and truth. While people never knew what Jesus was going to do, they always knew who he was going to be. He was like that thermostat on the back wall back there. A thermostat sets the temperature. Okay? A thermometer, on the other hand, changes with the temperature. So Jesus never let circumstances that surrounded him change his posture or cause him to lose sight of what God had called him to do. I believe that is one of the things that drew people to him. Whether he was flipping tables or drawing in the sand or serving fish and bread, Jesus was unshakable. After all, he is the Prince of Peace. And it is by the power of the Prince of Peace that we are able to represent a thermostat in our environment. We're able to walk steady in the midst of turmoil. With the correct posture, we are able to be like Christ, to walk like him, to speak like him, to produce fruit like him. All of this by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we have postured ourselves tightly. I was afraid I'm going to hit something. Posture ourselves tightly underneath our paradigm. With the correct posture, we are able... I already said that, sorry. All of this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the world around us gets chaotic and we allow it to change the temperature within us, our words and actions begin to look like everyone else. And when does the world actually need us to be fruitful? When do they actually need us to have peace? When do we actually get the opportunity to testify about who Jesus is in us? Our peace is missing because our posture is missing. Because we skipped over posturing ourselves and our beliefs and went straight to practicing without a posture. So let's remember this. If this is my paradigm, my umbrella, and this world gets crazy, I can recognize what is going on and say, okay, things aren't right. Things aren't going the way I expected. This is not how I intended. This is not how I intended to spend the holidays. However, if I believe that God is always present and at work, then I know that he is here with me in the midst of this turmoil. He has something for me. There is something in the midst of this for the church. There is something in the midst of this for my marriage. There is something in the midst of this for my faith. And guess what it takes? Guess what? It takes more faith to have. It takes more faith to have a posture of grace and truth in the midst of the circumstances surrounding me. It doesn't take any faith to go against what we say we believe the moment things get tough. So paradigm, posture, and now we get to practice. And this is the doing. Remember, our paradigm is our belief, the posture is our being, practice is our doing. Our doing is not, the doing is not the catalyst of our being. The being is the catalyst of our doing. So how many of you in here remember learning to drive a car? Only a couple. Man, Chris, you're the only one, your whole row. I hope none of them taught you how to drive. About a stick shift. We all remember that. So I know a few of you guys have even driven big rigs before. Getting behind the wheel and being able to navigate the open roads and the highway safely. How many of you could do that on day one sitting in the driver's seat? Kyle's the only one. He's the gifted of your children, or Brenda. So it took practice, right? You had to learn where the gears were and how to properly shift, how to properly press on that clutch and how much gas to give and how to safely stop. That all took practice. I can remember when I was first learning, I had a, I wish I threw that picture up, I forgot about it. A 77 Toyota Celica GT. It had wings because the front two quarter panels were rusted out, so when I went fast, it just flapped. But I would, when I first got that car, I didn't know how to drive a stick shift, and it was a 5-speed. And I would sit in our driveway, Mom and Dad's driveway, and just go forward and back, till I figured out how to shift the gears. And then the next challenge was to go down to Springfield, to Upper Valley Mall, and hit that hill. And if I could tackle that hill, then I could do anything. So, and it's the same with our walk. We must practice our posture of sitting under that paradigm and reading Scripture, talking with the Father, fasting. We're going to have some accountability and practice repentance and walk in authenticity. I'm going to do things that build the strength that enable me to have a natural, healthy posture under the paradigms of what I say I believe. So day one of me driving was horrible. I couldn't go anywhere. But now, I don't think anything of it. I mean, how many of us in here have driven from point A to point B, and when you've got to point B, you're like, how did I get here? You know, it has become second nature to you. It's the same with our Christian walk. When we are in that constant practice of building our spiritual muscles, when those storms hit, and we've got our posture in place, we become more unshakable. Okay? Because when we're in the world and that storm comes along and it's going out like this, we've lost our ground. But then we get our posture back. We get back under what we believe. And the next time that same storm comes along or a similar type, you're like, nah, that wasn't too bad. or better yet, when a brother or sister is going through what you've just gone through, you can invite them underneath your posture. So, we try to manipulate things around us when we start to panic. Everything that I'm doing is showing that the wind has blown my umbrella over here, placing me off center with the Father. And like I said, what I need to do is reposture. This is not what's going on around me. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I expected. But I believe, Father, that you are with me. You fed the birds. You feed the birds. You dress the lilies. So I can trust that you will care for me through this. And you stay in that posture. And you stay there when you don't want to be there. You build the strength to remain. But if I give up every time something doesn't go my way, I'm never able to build that strength. We see these trials as storms, as the problem, when actually they're part of the promise. You believe that? How can these storms be part of the promise? They are what God uses for our formation. And as one of my coach, he says, sometimes the deliverance that we are praying for is what God is using to refine us. So over time, the things that knock us over back in the day don't have that same strength that they had, because we have been made stronger, or better yet, we have realized our strength in the Father. So here we are finally, where practice looks like discipline until it becomes presence. So paradigm, posture, practice, and then presence. So driving a stick shift was hard until I became a driver. Before I had to keep practicing, before I got out of the driveway, then once I became proficient, I couldn't wait to get behind the wheel. I wasn't doing anything different. I still don't do anything different. Well, I drive slower now, put that way. But I just became a different person. That is what I'm attempting to do in my life. My practicing my posture, trying to model this grace and truth. Sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I get it wrong. I can't get it out of second gear. But you know what? I will. Because the Father cares about it more than I do. The presence of the Prince of Peace gives me peace and fills me with joy. So you don't have to do anything to reposture yourself, but to do it. So here's the umbrella, and here's my posture. And so when things start to go awry, I'm going to turn away from whatever lie I'm believing, whatever mess that I allowed to overtake me. I'm going to turn towards the Father, letting go of that lie. You know, sometimes we, you know, just like I'm doing now, I'm holding the umbrella. I got one hand free, so maybe I can do something else. I can grab something else, but when we're first walking this, we need to hold on tightly with both hands, letting go of that which drags us down. So So in this presence, I'm going to repent and resubmit myself under the paradigm that God is always present and at work. That He cares more about this than I do. He cares more about my marriage. He cares more about my family. He cares more about my future. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, so that I can trust Him as my eternal Father. Now, I don't know what your umbrella is today, but I do know what your invitation is, and it is to submit your posture under the thing that you are struggling to believe and to reclaim grace and truth and receive grace and truth in you so that on the other side of this, grace and truth will come out of you. There are things for you to do, but before you do anything, there's a person that you have been called to be. From your being, the doing will fall in place. God isn't about behavior management. He's about a heart transformation. Why? Because a properly transformed heart manages its own behavior. We, the church, are called to be a body of thermostats, steady and unmoved, set on grace and truth, that go into every circumstance of 2020 and 21, steady, predictable. Not because of what we'll do, we're going to do whatever God leads us to do, but because of who we are in Christ. That is what will grow the church. And I'm not talking about this congregation. I'm talking about the Big C church. We were not called to warm chairs. We were called to go and make disciples, to shine a light in the world, to make known the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray. Holy Father, I praise You and thank You for who You are. I thank You for guiding me through the message that You prepared for me, Father. I pray that I honored You in all that we shared. And may You be glorified. May the church be strengthened and built up. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.